Kyle Snyder is our pastoral resident. Of course, he's from here. And this is really exciting for us to have him be able to preach to us tonight. And if you aren't familiar with what a pastoral resident does, MAP Ministries, Ministry Apprenticeship Program, it's men who have finished their theological education. And this is a really learning ministry in the setting of the local church. You all as a congregation are involved in that relationship and in that training. And before Brother Snyder comes to preach the word to us tonight, I want you to be, just want to remind you that doing a pastoral residency, and there are many things that take place. He's getting to see how you minister in a pandemic as we're learning. And I mean, listen, you all that have been in, how many of you can ever remember having to minister in a pandemic before? Okay, well, good. See, he's getting an experience that none of us have ever had. And but really, what makes a pastoral residency and all that it is, part of what makes it is the involvement relationally and the involvement that you have in working with and growing with the pastoral resident. It is that connection, and you as a believer sharing your life with that resident, and throughout the year different people are training in different areas and working with the resident. But this is what makes pastoral residency part of the rich experience, is the richness that comes in relating to great people who are sharing themselves in their ministry and their life and their experience to pour into an individual who is getting ready to become a ministry practitioner in his own right. Kyle's going to be married in January, God willing. And we're looking forward to that for them. His fiance, Anna, is going to be joining us. We've never had a resident get married in the middle of residency, so that'll be a new experience for us. And it'll take a little bit of training and reminding for all of us to involve her and to share our lives with her as well, and work with her in her growth as a follower of the Lord. And without anything further, Brother Kyle Snyder is going to come preach to us.
All right. Well, being married during residency is new for me as well. So we will be going through that together. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Thank y'all for y'all's testimonies. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to think about all the things we're thankful for. And it's a good pause. Things start getting busy with Christmas coming up and buying gifts and all of the decorating and things. But it's a good pause before that to think about what we're thankful for. And maybe your family has a specific tradition y'all do. Our family never really did anything in particular, one particular tradition. But one thing that I've always tried to do, the last several years is just between me and God, I've always, during my devotions, tried to think of something that I was thankful for, and I could carry that throughout my day. I don't know if that's a tradition. I haven't done it every year, but this year, it was pretty easy. I knew what I was thankful for right off the bat, and it's my salvation. In the MAP program, one of the books of the Bible that I've been studying through is the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, it's all about our salvation. I've done the study of chapters 1 through 11, and it's all about the doctrine of salvation. And it's just a wonderful look at salvation. So I knew this year, salvation was it. It had been leading up several weeks, I knew. And I am just thankful for my salvation, and I praise God for it. But our salvation should lead us to a place of sacrifice and obedience to God. A celebrated Japanese statesman once said, "We do not worship our emperor." Now, the Japanese had an emperor that they basically worshipped. But he said, "We do not worship our emperor. We love him utterly." The commander before Port Arthur one day called for volunteers to cut the barbed wire entanglements. "You will never come back," he said, "nor can you carry a gun. You will take your place and cut one or two wires and fall dead. Another will take your place and cut one or two wires more. But you will know upon your dead bodies, the armies of your emperor will march to victory. Whole regiments volunteered for these sure death parties. His next statement, the statesman said, he said, if your Christians loved your God as we love our emperor, they would have long since taken the world for him. Do we love our God, and are we truly thankful for our salvation? Loving our God is expressed through a growing relationship with him, and we surrender our wills and our minds to him. Today we're going to look at chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to look at these aspects of surrendering our will through prayer and meditation to change our thinking. But before we can look at being a sacrifice for God, we have to have a relationship with God. Before we can get to chapter 12 in Romans, we have to understand what's happened prior to chapter 12. Paul is writing the churches in Rome, and he's explained in the book that everybody is a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's also said that, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So everybody is a sinner. But he's also explained that the salvation is for everyone. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I'm so thankful for that last part, that it's to the Greek as well, because that includes me, right? And chapter 11, he uses a beautiful picture of being grafted into a tree and how us Gentiles are now able to be grafted into the ability of being saved. And it's a wonderful picture that he uses. And in chapters 1 through 11, he really explains God's love and his mercy and his grace and his sovereignty and just how God loves us. And because of his grace, he gave us salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a wonderful promise we find in the book of Romans. So how does one get saved? Well, it's as simple as ABC. It's not adult Bible classes, but it's A, admit. Admit that we're sinners, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Our sin has separated us from God. Because of our sin, we can't be with God, and we're all sinners. So we have to admit that we're sinners, but B, believe in Jesus and believe that he died for our sins and rose again. See, Christ came to this earth and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. So he never deserved death, but yet he died on a cross for us. He took our punishment so we could be saved. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, call on the name of the Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us, he will. And it's such a wonderful thing that God loves man. And he loves us and he will save us and spend an eternity in heaven with us. Now, if you've never accepted Christ's gift of salvation, today's a wonderful day. I can't think of a better day to accept the gift of salvation. November 29th, 2020, right? The year of the pandemic. Why not get saved then, right? But honestly, we're not promised tomorrow. So if you've never been saved, today would be a wonderful day. If you have questions, come talk to me or Pastor Ed or Pastor Boffman, someone you know that entrusts, talk to somebody about it. But once we are saved, one of the biggest blessings of being saved is a relationship with God. In order to have a relationship with God, we have to understand that we have to put forth an effort to grow a relationship with him. A Christian should desire to present his life as an offering to God. Well, how do we do that? Well, that brings us to our text. First is surrender our will. Surrender our will. Looking at Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So let's take a look at the sacrifice. First, we have a living sacrifice, right? Paul explains that the proper response of salvation is giving our lives as a sacrifice. The word therefore in this verse, we need to see what it's there for. Well, in chapters 1 through 11, as we explained, is all about the doctrine of salvation. So Paul is saying, hey, because you now know and understand salvation, now that you're saved, therefore, this is what you should do. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, this is a surrendering of our will to God. Before salvation, we lived and used our bodies to do what we wanted to do. We had our will, and that's what we did. We did whatever we wanted. But now that we're saved, we should present our wills to Christ. And Christ is the perfect example of a living sacrifice, is he not? He said, not my will, but thine be done. Are we praying that same prayer, not my will, God, but your will? We need to surrender our wills to God, and then we can be a living sacrifice for him. We pray to submit our will to him. Christ gave himself for us. Are we willing to give up our wills for him? A living sacrifice to God will be a holy and acceptable offering to him. So let's take a look at a holy and acceptable sacrifice. God doesn't want just any sacrifice. He wants one that is holy and acceptable. He wants a perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices they presented to God, he wanted a spotless sacrifice, picturing Christ when he would come. God wants to use a clean vessel. Are we clean vessels that he can use? Over in my apartment, I'm basically living in a third world country over there. I have no dishwasher, all right? I know it's rough. Feel bad for me, all right? But I am the dishwasher, all right? So sometimes when I'm washing my dishes, I think I'm a mediocre dishwasher, all right? Don't hire me to do your dishes, but I'll get the job done, all right? I'll get it done. But when I wash my dishes, sometimes I'll be listening to a podcast or maybe a sermon for an assignment I have or doing something else, thinking through something. And I'm washing my dishes, but I'm not really paying attention to washing my dishes. I'm just washing my dishes. So I wash my dishes and I set them out to dry and I put them away and I go about the rest of my day. Well, I come back the next day, right, after work and I cook my dinner, and usually it's a one-pot dish because that's less dishes to wash. So I cook my one-pot dish, and I'm ready to put it on a plate. So I go to get a plate out of the cabinet, and I pull it out, and it's not clean. It's happened a couple times, right? Only once or twice. But pull it out, and maybe there's some cheese left on there from the night before. I didn't wash it good enough, and that's gross, right? So I stick it and put it in the sink, right? I'm going to wash it again later. And I go and get a clean plate to put my food on. I want a clean vessel to eat off of, right? Well, God wants a clean vessel to use. He doesn't want to use a dirty vessel. Are we a clean vessel that he can use? If we're not surrendering our will to God, we're going to be a dirty vessel. We're going to have sin in our lives because we're going to be doing what we want to do and not what God has for us to do. Are we a clean vessel? David, after his sin was found out, he prayed and said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Are we a clean vessel? So we have taken a look at the sacrifice we should be, but let's take a look at why we should offer our lives as a sacrifice, a purpose for sacrifice. At the beginning of the verse, it says, by the mercies of God. It's only by God's mercy that we're saved. And we should be thankful for that, more than just on Thanksgiving Day, but we should be thankful for that. Because God could have allowed us to spend an eternity in hell, but he loved us. He gave himself for us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. But then at the end of the verse, it says, which is your reasonable service. The Apostle Paul explains, hey, it's only reasonable. It's only reasonable that you would give your life for a God who is so loving and so kind. David Livingston was a Scottish missionary and explorer who spent 33 years in the heart of Africa. He endured much suffering as he labored to spread the gospel and open the continent to missionaries. This godly missionary once remarked, people talk of my sacrifice, of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life may make us pause and cause our spirits to waver and the soul to sink, but let it only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his father's throne on high to give himself for us. To live a surrendered life to God is the only understandable outcome of a person being saved. So we have looked at the first part of surrendering our will to God, but what about our minds? Have we surrendered our thoughts to him? Let's look at verse number 2 and look at that we need to renew our minds. Renew our minds. Verse number 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." First thing we see in this verse is external opposition. External opposition. And be not conformed to the world. It's a command. See, the world wants to shape us and conform us to what they have. It's an external pressure to try to force us to be like the world. The world, it's a constant flow of attacks, and they want us to change to them. Water has great power, and water can erode a path and form a river. It is the constant flowing of a river that erodes, and it is the constant attacks of the world that can erode our spiritual life. If we're not careful, we can allow the world to conform us in a subconscious way. If we're not careful and we don't pay attention, we can allow the world to change us. Even if we're not paying attention to it, they change us by forcing their opinions and showing us different things and changing us to their image. Are there some areas that we need to look at and make sure that the world is not conforming us? Making sure that we're not allowing the world to conform us in. Maybe it's our entertainment. The psalmist said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Maybe there's some entertainment choices that we've made that the world is getting into our lives and conforming us to be like them. Maybe we need to take a look at our entertainment. Maybe it's our speech we need to take a look at. Maybe the world is conforming us to speak the way they do. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." God cares what we say. Are we allowing the world to conform us and allowing them to change and influence what we say? Or are we focused on what God would have us do? Maybe it's our thoughts that the world is conforming us in. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Maybe it's our pride or greed, "for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, but trust in uncertain riches." This list of areas that the world tries to conform us in, we could spend a long time looking at this list. But maybe there's an area in your life that God wants you to take a look at and maybe change some things. Maybe some of your entertainment choices or some your speech or your thoughts or other areas. I know God has worked in my life in this study, and there are some things I've had to take a look at and some areas that I didn't even realize I was being influenced by the world in, but things I needed to change. The world would love for you to be just like they are. But we're not. We are light in the world of darkness. And we cannot fit in and be comfortable. We have the Holy Spirit with us, and we can't be like the world. God has not called us to a life of conforming, but to a life of transforming. So let's look at the internal transformation. Verse number 2, it says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Well, how do we renew our minds? Well, it's through meditation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. While prayer changes our will, the scripture changes our mind. Now, this is a fight. It's a battle between what the world would have for us and what God wants for us. And whoever we give into is who's going to win. Whoever we give our attention and our time to, that is who is going to win. If we do not have the scripture flowing into our minds, we will turn out like the world. Whoever has the strongest influence in our life, whoever is speaking the loudest in our life, will get the victory. But let's look at the end of the verse, verse number 2, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, the continuous proof. After a time of being a sacrifice and renewing our minds, we start to understand that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. It's a process. We submit our will to God through prayer. We pray and say, God, not my will, not what I want, but what you want. So often I find myself struggling in this. I will not necessarily go directly against God's will, though I have done that before, but often I try to do things quick before I pray about it, so that way I don't have to know God's will. That way I just have to ask for forgiveness and not permission. But that's not living as a sacrifice for God. Living as a sacrifice for God is praying, hey, God, not my will, but your will. So we need to surrender our will to God, but then we need to renew our mind through meditation. This is where our devotion life is so important. It's not just reading scripture and checking it off our checklist. It's truly seeking what God has for us to live and grow by. It's meditating on God's word throughout our day and having scripture flowing through our mind so that way it transforms our thinking to think like Christ does. So we can truly be wise. The result of doing these two things is yielding our body to Christ as a sacrifice. This process can be thrown off, though, if we stop surrendering our will to God. If we say, no, God, I'm going to do what I want. That throws this process off. We're not living as a sacrifice then. Or if we're not having scripture in our minds are not being changed, and we start thinking the way the world does again. This can be thrown off if we don't focus on it. And it is a process. It's not a one-and-done situation. I surrendered my will to God once, so I'm good. It's a constant thing. Constantly surrendering our will to God. It's not, I meditated on a verse for a day, so I'm good the rest of my life. God changes our mind continually, and we need that continual thing. It's a process. As we seek God, we change to be like Him. Who you hang around is who you are like, right? That's what I learned as a teenager. Who I was hanging out with, that's who I was going to be like. And it's true for this as well. If we hang around the world and the things of the world, we're going to be like the world. But if we hang around the things of God and the scripture and have those things going through our minds, then we will be like Christ. So are we yielding our bodies to Christ? Maybe we need to look at some areas that we're conforming in to the world. Maybe we need to change some things so we're not conforming to be like the world. Maybe for you it's scripture. You need to renew your mind, and studying the Bible is what you need to be doing, and having scripture flowing through your mind instead of the things that the world wants you to be thinking about. Maybe for you it's surrendering your will to God. Maybe you're not surrendering all of your will, just certain parts of it. It's easy to surrender when it's something you want. But are you surrendering every part of your will? If you're not saved, like I said, today is a great day to be saved because you can't be a living sacrifice if you're not saved. It doesn't make sense to want to be a living sacrifice if you're not saved. So if you need to be saved, today's a great day. Don't let any questions you have about it go unanswered. It's too important for that. So Christian, are we surrendering our lives to our Savior, the one who died for us? Are we willing to surrender and live as a living sacrifice for Him, Pastor?